Blog Talk Radio.
This program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on, as well as a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk. Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday, and welcome to the P4P Real Talk Foodie Edition. We are super excited to invite welcome our guests tonight. We have two great gals that are going to be joining us. We have healthy living expert and founder of Jen Amore, Jen Arcale, and Sharina Fargason, who is author of Sharina's Guide to a Svelte Body. And we are going to kick off the night with Sharina tonight, and she is going to be talking to us about her experience in the bodybuilding world and how she came to developing her cookbook. And she's also going to be sharing some delicious tips with all of us on how to take that same old, possibly boring meal that you're eating day in and day out and how to jazz it up and make it tastier. Sharina, welcome to P4P Real Talk. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me. Once again, it's an honor to be on your show, as always. Very happy. Thank you.
Thank you. I understand we had you just last week with Kaylin talking about your bodybuilding journey, and that was quite a show. And so we're definitely happy to have you back tonight to share your foodie expertise with our guests.
Yes, yes, yes. And I would love to share some of the things. It started about 5 years ago when I did this program, and I learned some stuff about eating clean food. Yes, that required taking out alcohol and sugar, which is not the worst thing in the world. You can still have it at your cheat meal. That's what I choose. Little by little, I cooking for my kids and my family. Taking any recipe and just transforming into a healthy recipe. That's basically how I did it. I am Jewish, so we have our own little recipes. Every tradition has their own recipes going on. I just try to transform it into a healthier form. And it's really, really, really simple. So instead of butter, you use coconut oil. Instead of a whole egg, just use an egg white. Simple things like that I transformed. So, yeah, I'm not a chicken person. I truly believe I feed my body according to blood. When I learned more and more about food eating, and I kind of do believe in blood type, food type thing. It works, I think. I'm no scientist. I'm no doctor. I'm not a nutritionist. But it works for me. I think it may work for a lot of people. And therefore, chicken is not my thing. I never liked it. I always hated it. And I see all these bodybuilders. This is what they do. They eat the chicken. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to puke if I look at it. And that's how it all began. And I developed recipe. I'm like, oh, my God, somebody mentioned, why don't you just put it in the book? I'm like, me? A book? Wouldn't even know what to do with it. And it just happened, so I'm very proud of it. It's something that I did, very excited that I was able to accomplish that. I wish I had talkers that would just throw questions at me, but it's very simple. You take ground turkey. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. And definitely I think ground turkey would be a great example if you want to just talk about how different ways to jazz that up and prepare different meals.
Okay, so let's say we're very busy. I personally don't like to microwave my food. I like it warm. right off the right out of the oven or right off the cooktop. I just like it when it's just made. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who has no time. Gazillion things to do, work, kids. I'm no different from anyone else. Very limited time. The easiest thing for every day, 1, 2, 3 to make a burger. Are you a chicken? You like chicken? Take ground chicken. Are you a turkey lover? Ground turkey. I'm a beef lover. I will mix all the beefs together and do that. I'm also a veal lover. I will take ground veal, take a chunk, roll it in a ball, squash it, boom, you have yourself a patty. You can jazz it up. As simple things as an apple gives it a flavor. Boil a beet. Mash it up. Add a little beet in there. A little salt, a little pepper, simple things. There's no reason to have it with bread. Have it on the lettuce. With a little onion. It's really, really simple. As far as ketchups, I don't do any of those sauces. There's no reason for it. That's what I think. I will put a tad of sunflower mayo on it. Delicious. There you go. Another example. A European, a crepe. It's in my book. I love crepes. I was born in Ukraine. I was brought up eating a crepe with black caviar. Eastern European meal for breakfast. Well, a crepe. I use oat flour instead of regular flour. There you go. It's nice and healthy. Healthy, complex carbs. Enjoy it. And then put whatever you want in there. My family is so used to Justin's chocolate almond butter that we can't even look at Nutella. We look at Nutella, everybody in my family, my 12-year-old can't even eat it anymore. You know, it's just a matter of breaking your taste buds. And really, it only takes like 3 weeks. And then it does not taste the same anymore. So we have Nutella or we have almond chocolate butter by Justin's. It's smooth, it's creamy, it's delish. So you just kind of switch them out. That's all it is. Don't use butter. Use coconut oil. Just switch them out. I'm trying to think of another good example that you can add. So you're doing your muffin, your meatloaf. Instead of using breadcrumbs, use uncooked either broccoli or cauliflower. It'll hold it.
Really?
Yeah, it will hold it. Phenomenal.
And you're just chopping that up in little minuscule pieces, or
you can make it.
What does that
muffins,
do for the consistency?
Well, it's in my book. I have the full recipe in my book. I will gladly post it if you want me to. I have no problem. But you can make them as muffins, or you can make it as one meatloaf, like a like one piece, like a bread loaf type.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really simple. Another recipe I threw, which is wonderful, I can't recall what I called it, but I make like I fluff up the egg white. I add a little salt, a dash of salt in there, and I add a dash of I can't think of it right now. Oh, why can't I think of it? Anyways, I fluff it up. I fluff the eggs. And then I basically make like a flat, sort of like a pita bread. Bake it in the oven for 12 minutes. Boom. Roll whatever you want in there. That was posted.
Wow.
I had that posted actually in the Natural Mag International. You know that one? I used to write about a lot of recipes for Natural Mag. But there's so many different ways to just jazz up. Use your veggies. Don't use your breadcrumbs. Use your veggies. Now, another thing, pasta. I prefer brown. I think it's it's complex. It's better for you. One, and it's easy to make and it's delicious. I promise, it's delicious. Right before I ran out of my house, I made it. 5 minutes later, my son, they don't even touch regular pasta anymore. One, we stay away from gluten. We all learned that it's better for us. The allergies are gone. My daughter, every winter, she develops like patches. My little one developed patches, like red itchy patches. Once she was pulled off of gluten, she forgot about those. So we all know that gluten is not the best thing for us. I think it's been proven by doctors, nutritionists. Brown rice pasta. Brown rice pasta. It's delicious. I cooked it. I added a dash of salt. Once it's cooked, drain the water. You don't even have to wash it because the texture of it is delicious. I put coconut oil in there. Done. Now, if you have leftovers, it's even easier. Now you can make that for breakfast. You mash up your brown pasta. Yeah, mash up your brown pasta. Add egg whites to it. I personally, I will add, like, say, 5 egg whites and one yolk. Season to however you want. You like pepper, add pepper. You like salt, add salt. You want a little maybe on the sweeter side, so you can add xylitol instead of sugar or Splenda. A lot of people like Splenda. I don't like the aftertaste, so I use xylitol, which is great for your teeth as well. It keeps your, you know, cavities gone out of your mouth. It's really good for your teeth. Now you mix that all up. You have little pancakes, brown rice pancakes. And they're delicious.
And you just make it just like a pancake.
That's it. Yeah. There are no rules. I've been so crazy this week. I had no time for me. I have to. I put everybody ahead of me. My dogs eat first, my kids eat first, and then me, I have 5 minutes. So I took for the last two mornings, I took ground veal and ground beef. I mashed them up together. I didn't even put salt in. I just dazzled salt on top, just threw it on a pan, sprayed the pan with coconut spray oil, and I like it spicy. So I add cayenne pepper right on top, 2 eggs, that's my breakfast. It's crazy,
so,
but, you
mean,
know,
basically,
it works.
Yeah, but what you're saying, you know, perfectly, it fits, because if there are no rules to food or when you need to eat it, you know, whatever you have time for and that you have on hand, I think that's a big part of it is having the right ingredients on hand. But yeah, you can throw it together in any fashion that you like. It doesn't have to be the same old meal every single time. And I really like what you did with the brown rice pasta in converting that from a pasta dish into a quote unquote breakfast dish into a pancake.
Yeah. Yep. And you can use your fork. I mean, whatever's on hand. If you have a food processor, it depends on the amount of pasta you have left over. You can do that. I actually do the same thing with meat. We go through a lot of steaks. So, but not always we finish. I won't throw out a steak. I will take it. I will throw it in the food processor. I will grind it. I will add a little some egg in there. And I can actually mix it with brown rice pasta. And I just cooked up a new meal. Or brown rice. And I got myself steak meatballs.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So chicken's not your deal. So you don't do a lot with chicken breast. But I would assume, you know, that the same rules apply to chicken. If you do have a leftover chicken
breast,
absolutely. You can grind it up. And again,
chicken
mix
breast,
it with...
make it, you know how I make chicken breast juicy? What I do is I have a little secret, okay? And I'm sure a lot of cooks out there know it. So what I take is I take a quarter of kiwi. I will take a quarter of kiwi. I will take some honey. And, again, I will not eat this because I just don't like it, but my son loves chicken. So that's how I make it for him. So I squeeze honey. I squeeze mustard, quarter kiwi, a little seltzer water. I mix that up. I cut the chicken breast into thinner slices. I throw it in there, and I let it sit for a few hours. Kiwi tends to eat into the meat. It makes it really soft. So if you overdo it on kiwi, it will eat up the meat, and it'll taste like cotton ball.
Oh.
So, yeah. Yep.
So be careful on the kiwi, folks.
Quarter of a kiwi, mash it up, and yeah. And let it sit for 2 hours, and then you can grill it. If the grill is not available, like I can't get to my grill, it's snowed in. So cooktop it is. Or on a, you know, spray your Skittle. Always keep your Skittle clean. Don't use it twice. Spray with, I like coconut spray oil, that's my favorite. I go through them through a bottle at least once a week. And just, you know, fry it. It's okay to fry it. As long as you keep your Skittle clean all the time and you always use fresh spray or coconut, even coconut oil. And you just fry it. And it's delicious. It's delicious.
Okay, so that's basically your own marinade that you've got going on there that'll just, you know, throw away a clean way to jazz up the chicken and, you know, have it another way versus just throwing it in the oven and taking it out and, you know, eating 5 days worth of that in a week or what have you.
For me, what I would do is I would grind the chicken breast in a food processor and add sunflower mayo to it. So grind them together and make spoon them into like a little tiny burger shapes, like a cutlet shape, and fry that. So that's the way I would do it for me if I had no choice but to eat chicken. I like the fattier tasting meat. It's healthy fat, fish and meat. We get healthy fats. They're good for us. So it's not like you just, you know, you're eating butter and dairy stuff. We stay away from dairy in my house.
Yep, I see that. So on your cookbook, you're gluten-free, you're sugar-free, you're dairy-free, and you're soy-free. So you're actually doing a lot of substitution in the food that you're preparing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, you do the reading, soy is so bad for you. It's an overgrown product. So why is it so overgrown product? They grow so much of it. There's a reason behind it. They put chemicals in there. So everybody says soy is so bad for you. Okay, no soy. Sugars. They age us. They give us wrinkles. So we don't do sugars, and they turn into fast fats. So that's not what we want. So what's left? And that's how I started doing research. I'm like, oh, xylitol. Oh, and look, your teeth. My little one hasn't had cavities. Knock on wood, and I'm knocking on my head right now. She hasn't had cavities since she's 9.
Awesome.
I do believe there's a reason for everything, you know. And most dentists don't even know that, to recommend for the mothers to give xylitol instead of sugar.
Well, and I mean, and you have to do the homework in order to know those things, definitely.
Again, I don't know it all, but I know what I had to find. I know what I needed to know, and that's where I got to where I got. I was always tiny. I was always this, you know, miniature, but I always, I say I was skinny fat.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I had allergies, and I had gazillion things going on, and all that kind of went away when I got rid of the glutens and sugar. I love sugar. Sweets is my weak spot, and I think everybody that I ever compete with, they know that. It's my weakness. Sugar and tequila, it's my weakness. And you have to have your happy medium, you know, and I found that happy medium. So when everybody's cheating on pizza, I'm like, nah, I'm going to have me like 3 desserts. That's what I'm going to have in a tequila shot, you know? So everybody kind of has to find their niche. I found mine. They have to find their, but I do have some tweaks.
Yep.
When it comes to cooking.
Everything is in moderation at times, so for sure. Now,
absolutely.
We are...
Yeah, guys, don't get completely lost in your foods, okay? Everything in moderation. Otherwise, it all gets boring. So keep it fun all the time in moderation.
Yes,
happy
no
medium.
Doubt. And I think you've definitely
it depends
given
where
us
you
a
are.
Lot of different things to think about in keeping food fun. And I know we're coming to the end of our time because we only have you for a short time tonight. But,
let's talk. And so go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, let's talk veggies real quick, but go ahead with your thoughts.
I was just going to say, guys, you have to try coffee with coconut oil. Delicious.
Coffee with
Who's
coconut
ever coffee
oil.
Coffee lover, add a teaspoon of coconut oil into your coffee. Delicious.
Very good. I never would have thought about that either. So coffee with coconut oil. And I'm going to imagine your vegetables, they're either probably steamed, or if you do put any kind of oil on them, it would be a coconut oil.
Yes, but I do steam. I like steamed vegetables. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a veggie person.
Mm.
My favorite veggie is romaine lettuce. That's it. Oh, and onion. Sweet onion, Vidalia. Those are my 2 favorite veggies. Anything else doesn't even talk to me. So if I see broccoli, I like broccoli. Mm-hmm. But, I like it steamed. I prefer it steamed with a little salt, dash of salt on it. But you can add coconut oil in it. If I was to heat up my vegetables, yes, I would then use coconut oil. Lemon is my favorite. So you can't go wrong with lemon. Lemon in lieu of salt is great. So if I'm making my salad, my Caesar salad, I put a lot of lemon juice in it, fresh lemon juice. Not bought lemon juice, but from a lemon. I cut it. I squeeze it in there. No salt needed. Delicious.
Well, it all sounds delicious. And I just want to say thanks so much for joining us tonight and sharing all
and
of
your tips.
And thank
you for having me. And
your
tell all your guests that they can always reach out to me on my Facebook, Trina Ferguson, and ask me questions. And we together can switch up a recipe. It's simple. It's easy. Promise.
Well, I hope so, because that's what we need. Simple and easy, but keep it fun and exciting. And if they're interested in finding your cookbook, where do they find that? Should they just contact you through your Facebook page, or is there another website or somewhere they can go?
Yeah, it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's a digital book. They can download it from Amazon. If they just type in my name, it comes up, or Barnes & Noble. Just type in my name, it comes up, or the name of the book, it comes up. It's really easy to download it. Go from there. It's in my iPad. It's whenever you download it, it's either in your phone or your iPad, whatever you use to cook. And it always sits there. It has some good recipes in there.
No, sounds like it definitely. So, everyone, Trina's Guide to a Svelte Body. If you liked anything that you heard tonight, be sure to check her out. And again, Trina, thanks so much and have a great night.
Thank you.
Okay, so a lot of things that I never would have thought of, a lot of them involving coconut oil, so that's always exciting, but I guess it's good for your coffee, your meat, your vegetables, brown rice pasta can also be a pancake. So a lot of different options there, definitely a lot to think about. Our next guest that I want to bring online, she is pretty much a jack of all trades and is going to help us decipher the challenge of time that Sharina talked about that I know so many of us are faced with. Because when it comes to food, especially during contest prep or even just wanting to eat healthy in general, variety and taste seems to be a challenge, one of the main challenges. And then the other is time and how to prep it. So next up we have Jen Arcale, and she is a healthy eating specialist. She has also published an award-winning cookbook. She's a nutritionist. She's a Natural Olympia medalist, PNBA pro, marathoner. The list can go on. But I just want to say, Jen, thanks for joining us tonight on P4P Real Talk.
Oh, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Desiree.
So I guess, just tell our guests a little bit more about what you do, and then I want to jump right into how you get this all done. I know that a big part of what you teach folks is based around the around batch cooking, your batch cooking technique, and your 3-hour cook week, which I could definitely use a 3-hour cook week, so I'm pretty sure our listeners can too. Just tell us more how you got started in all of this.
Oh, happy to. So basically, I'm a financial executive for 20 plus years. I'm actually a CPA. I kind of did some CFO type work with large corporations. So I've always been traveling a lot, working insane hours. And it was the typical never had time to be healthy. By the way, had never grown up as an athlete. I never did anything athletic until my 40s. I'm 51 right now. Ran my first marathon at 40, did my first bodybuilding show at 45, turned pro 2 years later. And the natural bodybuilding is where I picked up so much of the techniques on how to use food to your advantage without feeling locked in the kitchen, deprived, all those things. Those techniques that I now have launched a business that caters to the busy person, the busy, average, everyday person. There's people like Sharina, like yourself, like Kayleen, like a lot of the listeners here, who are pretty dialed in already to what it means to eat well and exercise and rest and all these other natural things that are so important for us to be our best. While that's wonderful, I thought, gosh, you know, who needs this information the most is those people, you know, working 9 to 5 plus, traveling all over the place, some executives, leaders, you know, CEOs, people that, you know, either are in restaurants all the time, in airports all the time, have mm-hmm. busy families with kids and whatnot. So kind of took just that, all that background, became a certified sports nutritionist, fitness chef, published the cookbook, started getting kind of on the health circuit with coaching, and then just really refined my focus to doing what I do is coaching and also workshops, which are half-day to two-day workshops in organizations, groups, with leadership teams, because my mantra that I sing to these people is, you know, health starts at the top. And while a lot of organizations are finally starting to get serious about, you know, wellness programs and whatnot, it's kind of a lot of garbage out there. And so what I try to do is just lay some real basic fundamentals for people that no matter where they're at in their journey, if they're athletic, if they're gluten-free, if they're diabetic, if they're senior citizen, if they're a young teenage athlete, all these different things, the things I teach apply to every single one in the room, no matter, and then I talk to some very varied groups. So that's how I got here, is I just saw that there was a real need for people to kind of break down all the confusion for kind of the everyday busy person who doesn't have time to cook every day.
And that would be me. As much as I hate to admit it, but I am one of those people. And, you know, it just so happens I was speaking with a new client of mine this morning, and that was his main complaint. You know, he's been working out for a long time. He's comfortable with what he's doing in the gym. But what it's all boiling down to for his change, for his transformation, is food. He's an attorney. His wife has a very busy, lucrative real estate business. They have two kids. They have gymnastics. They like to enjoy their adult beverages, you know. So it's all about figuring out, how do I make this change and how do I get it done? And then take someone who has a similar background and throw in contest prep, and it's really crazy. So how do we get this done?
Well, you know, I think the important thing to keep in mind from my perspective is, you know, we all have, sometimes we get to a point where we realize what works for us. And I think most people know, just because something works for one person doesn't mean it's going to work for the other person. So kind of, if you have the luxury of kind of experimenting and tweaking on yourself, that's great. I'm going to assume people don't have the luxury of that. And so that's where I come from to say, how do you get it all done, is simple changes that will make a huge impact. Okay, now, while someone who's doing contest prep might have to take this to the next level, and cut some of these things out. Everything in my cookbook, everything I teach people about food, you know, people say, so what are you? Are you paleo? Are you vegetarian? Are you gluten-free? You know, are you DASH diet? Well, I said, I'm a realitarian. I eat real food. That's what I am. That's what I do, okay? And that's about as far as I'll go into what I do. Because I what I want to bring out in people is to get them to thinking for themselves about what they need and what they should do. But before they can mm-hmm. figure that out, sometimes they need to understand some fundamentals that we all learn in natural bodybuilding, like how do you pair, how do you separate your macros, how can you maximize the nutrition and minimize the fat storage just by the timing of what you eat and what you eat together. Most people don't know that. And so that's a huge win for them when I can teach them the why behind those things and the impact it has on them. So people are very excited when they come out of my workshops to realize, okay, so you're telling me I need to stay away from the center aisles of the grocery store and buy real food on the outer aisles. Okay, I get that. But you're also telling me I don't have to give up you know, my carbohydrates and the things I really enjoy. And, you know, quite frankly, they're very excited to learn. Not only am I not saying don't give them up, you actually need them to be healthy. But guess what? Front load them in the early part of the day. You know, you don't need big carbs at night. So these are the kind of things that in the natural bodybuilding world, we start to take for granted. But the average person does not know these things. So this is how I am kind of laying the foundation for them to see the power of what you eat, when you eat, and how you eat it should be dictated by what you're going to do next. Whether you're going to sit on a plane for 6 hours or you're heading to the gym, that should be two different breakfasts, you know, depending on which thing you're going to do. So this is how I set them, first lay the foundation for why food matters and what we do. So then once I get them bought in on that, then I say, okay, now I know what you're all thinking. Well, real food's great, but I don't have time to make real food. So that's when I get in to my 3-hour cook week segment of the workshop, which in summary, very briefly, I'm a big believer in it's more important always have relatively healthy, clean food on hand.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more important than getting very focused on some of the minute details and headlines and different philosophies out there about is gluten good or bad? Is a microwave good or bad? Should I use olive oil or coconut oil? You know, is red meat bad? Is Greek yogurt bad because it's dairy? All these things. When I, again, because the people I'm talking to typically aren't getting on stage, or they're getting on stage and they have a whole family who is not getting on stage. So how do they cook for them and themselves? And that's where the 3-hour cook week comes in also. It's 1 hour to shop, which can be done any day when you have a list. A list is so important. I have a healthy grocery list in the back of my cookbook. So 1 hour to shop. And these are things that can be divvied up among the family as well if there's more than one person. The second hour is what I call prep, which is your cleaning, your cutting, your marinating, if it's proteins, if it's vegetables, you know, so you kind of get everything marinating. So imagine, I mean, you should see our house when we do this on Sundays usually. We've got everything out. Someone's in charge of rinsing and scrubbing and peeling and dicing and cutting. The other one's making the marinades for the chicken breast, for the tilapia, for the sirloin steaks, you know, so we've got all the marinades going. Then that third hour, guess what that is?
That's all cooking.
That's right. It's get the grill going, get the stovetop going, get the microwave going, get the oven going, whatever, all the different things you're cooking, you knock that out in an hour at the same time. Now, That's the 3 hours, okay? Now, what makes this practical and tasty and doesn't make you feel like you're eating dried leftovers for 5 days is that's the first step is this batch cooking. The second step is to separate everything when you store it. So back in the first step, when you're cooking in bulk, and that's what I mean by batch, you're cooking, you know, 5 pounds of chicken breast and, a whole bag of tilapia loins and, you know, maybe 2-3 sirloin steaks. You're cooking enough for the whole week, more than just dinner. Think about lunches and breakfasts also. So you batch cook it and then everything's cooked separately, even my grains. If I'm doing a quinoa pilaf, I'll do a big pot of that separately. If I'm doing sweet potatoes, I'll do the sweet potatoes separately. Excuse me. My vegetables, I'll cook a variety. I'll grill asparagus. I'll maybe do a pan out on the grill or in the oven of mushrooms and jalapeno peppers and red onions together in a very light vinegar-based vinaigrette. So all these things are cooking separately, right? Then when I store it, I'm also storing everything separately. I'm not mixing things together. That allows me to do the third step, which is phasing my preparation so that it's always different. So I prepare and serve batches according to freshness and individual tastes. This is what allows a family to enjoy a mix and match approach to all kind of those different macros we just prepared. Because we're separating everything when we store it, that's what gives us the variety. And then the phasing, not only does it give you variety, but it allows you to enjoy things a certain way and when they're at their freshest, like maybe a la carte, like the night the things come off the grill. You probably have it just like you would in a restaurant where everything is separate. As the days go on and things start to get a little dried out or a little boring, that's when we start to do our, you know, chopping things up, vegetables, meats into omelets, into breakfast burritos, into on top of salads, you know, the chicken or the fish with sweet potato chunks on top of a salad. And then even if think about some pasta sauce or salsa, does amazing things to bring dried protein and vegetables and grain pilafs back to life, you know. There's a lot of wonderful clean salsas, hot sauces, tomato sauces out there. But, of course, in my cookbook, I have a whole chapter on sauces and marinades that are super clean, very low to no sugar. I use apple cider vinegar all the time, which talk about a great tenderizer of meat. That's something that's a base in all of my marinades. Then, you know, what happens at the end of the week? Guess what? We're having a lot of soups and stews, kind of mushing things up and making it, you know, into, like I said, an omelet or stir fry, mix everything together, make a big pilaf, use it to stuff acorn squash or zucchini or red pepper. Does that kind of make sense? How can you kind of phase things to where, you know, at the end of the week, you're getting super creative and mixing everything together when it's kind of getting, you know, probably its driest.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, that definitely does make sense. I mean, and it all comes down to, though, we all know the time is an issue, and I can see how all of this is a time saver, but we probably have somebody out there saying, you know what, I don't have time to be creative. I'm just going to have to eat it dry. But I think even from your approach, because when you see people do Sunday fun day prep, they have the same meal over and over and over again, the exact same vegetable, the exact same meat, the exact same, you know, grain in 12 containers. But even if you store your things separately, it does give you that opportunity to mix and match more to where you're not locked into the same meal, you know, day in and day out for 5 days. You can still have variation and give your family that variation, and it's all pre-prepped. So I definitely do like that about your concept.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other thing, too, even if it's just one person who's more in the contest prep mode, if you're alternating between sweet potatoes and brown rice and quinoa as your carb, you know, make a few, like, you know, large portions of that on Sunday. And then your proteins, you're probably alternating between egg whites and, you know, fish and chicken and maybe some pork loin. Guess what? Make a couple days, 3 days worth of each of those as well. And if you are really comfortable with the, well, I just like to have everything in my containers, guess what? Then at least you can be putting fish and black beans and quinoa and, you know, sautéed veggies in one, or you can, and then the next day you can have your raw veggies with, you know, some brown rice and some chicken breast. I mean, you see, even that way you could get variety by taking the batch cooking and just, you know, cooking everything separately and then kind of mixing how you put it together.
Exactly. And do you have any, so a lot of this that we're talking is fresh, but what about also freezing? Do you have any recipes or tips that more so lend themselves to freezing and the quick de-thaw as part of this process that, you know, is really helpful? Or
yeah, absolutely. In fact, a lot of the recipes I have for sauces and marinades especially, I say make a bunch ahead of time and then, you know, freeze half of it. The other thing, too, is with, you know, I freeze just about everything if I've made too much, except eggs. Cooked eggs don't freeze very well. But everything else, you know, extra quinoa, extra oats, extra, you know, even cooked chicken and fish. I've frozen that before and then thawed it out. And again, it's not going to be great doing that if you're eating it just totally, bland without some sort of a marinade or a sauce on there. But, you know, it's great in a pinch, and especially if you have, again, the marinades and sauces I have in my cookbook are super clean. It's just olive oil, apple cider vinegar, garlic, black pepper, a little bit of liquid aminos if you like a salty taste in there. But that's it. It's super clean, you know, and then I've got some variations. If you're able to have some hummus, guess what? Throw a little hummus in there, and you have a delicious dressing for your salad that's creamy, you know, and it's just oil and vinegar and hummus. So these are the kind of things. And then the other thing with freezing, too, is fresh vegetables. I freeze just about everything that's a vegetable. If it starts to go a little sideways before I've eaten it all, like I like a lot of raw veggies to snack on. That's part of my prep is I cook, or excuse me, I cut my bell peppers, my celery, my carrots, green beans, you know, whatever it is, cucumbers. I'll cut all that up into little bite-sized pieces enough for like 4 days, you know. And so, and I've got a big, you know, those plastic Rubbermaid like cereal keepers that keep your cereal mm-hmm. fresh, which I haven't mm-hmm. had cereal in my house, I don't know how many years, but I have one of those cereal keepers because guess what? That's what I put my cut veggies in the fridge. So I just grab a handful if I just feel like snacking on something, or I throw a handful in my Tupperware if I'm heading out for the day, you know, for meetings. I carry a lot of my food in my food bag, you know, because either I'm going through airports or I'm in meetings or I'm on the road driving. So I'm real big about easy. Part of the prep is easy stuff where you don't have to necessarily always have access to a bowl and a fork and a knife. It's something you can eat with your mm-hmm. fingers, you know. So, and that's the other thing, too, with this prep method is it allows you to kind of eat on the go and not feel like, well, I don't have time to sit down, warm this up, put it on a plate, you know. It's once it's done, it's all very easy to put together and eat, whether you're freezing it, thawing it, or just kind of pulling it out of the fridge.
I mean, and I think that's what we all need. I mean, it, don't get me wrong, it's going to take work. At some point in this adventure, you're going to have to set aside a day to get it done, but it's how you use that day in order to set up the rest of your week, which is going to have a lot to do with how successful you are with either your prep or just your basic weight loss or just eating healthy. So you're not, you know, driving through the streets saying, oh, I didn't pack anything, but I need to get something to eat, and I don't want to stop at fast food, and I don't want to stop at, you know, a gas station, and I don't have time to run into a grocery store, so what do I do? Well, I'm ultimately going to end up eating fast food if I don't plan to succeed.
Well, and even when it comes to planning, I mean, that's the biggest thing right there. But, you know, you were talking about freezing. Something I love to freeze is when I make a batch of protein pancakes I've got these recipes in my cookbook as well, protein oatmeal cookies, things like that. Those are great to freeze because, you know, then you can just kind of grab them and go. And then by the time you eat them later in the day, they're thawed out. So that's always great. But, you know, in fact, someone I'm coaching right now, I gave her instructions to do something. And so the next time I saw her, I did an inspection. I said, I want to look in your backpack, your purse, and your car. And she said, why? And I said, because last time I told you, I wanted you to have a bag of raw almonds in all three places as that emergency backup where, you know, I mean, you get stuck. You get behind schedule. It's 3 hours. You haven't eaten, you know. And she had them in all three places, so I was really proud.
Yay! And that's a great point, too, as part of your prep. And I had not really thought about that, although I am notorious for carrying baggies of almonds or nuts around at times just for that reason, because they can tide you over until you can get to that next meal or, you know, you're just starving. And they'll tide you over without making a major, you know, quote-unquote, I guess, error. Not really an error or mistake, but it's just a healthier choice for what it is that you're trying to do.
Right. And it's easy, it's accessible, and, you know, almonds stay good for a long time. So I'm like, don't worry about it sitting in your car for 3 weeks. It's not going to matter, you know. Just know it's there, and if you need it, it's, you know, your little emergency stash. So.
Yep. So I just have to ask, how much Tupperware do you have on hand? Because I'm thinking of all this individual storage, and all I'm seeing are mountains and mountains of Tupperware. Like, I have a huge drawer of Tupperware, but I'm feeling like I need even more now.
No, you know what's funny? You know what I actually use a lot of? The Tupperware I use is actually use a lot of glass for my fridge, because, again, the way I do things is I don't prepare each meal. Like, I don't have, like, 12 or 16 little Tupperwares out. Instead,
yeah,
I have about six, you know, like Pyrex dishes, which are great because, you know, they just last longer. It's that hardy glass and stuff. But frankly, Desiree, what I use a lot of also is baggies. I put like my cooked meat in there in the fridge. And I know a lot of people say, oh, that's so bad, it's plastic. But, you know, this gets back to one of the first things I said. I feel like healthy eating has to be accessible, easy, quick, doable, or people are going to find a reason and excuse not to do certain things. And for me, the convenience and ease of using big gallon Ziploc bags, because I can freeze in those, I can put stuff in the fridge, you know, and I even use them over sometimes the second week. And, you know, and like I said, that cereal keeper, I keep my cut veggies in. So it's not, you know, the storage part, you know, isn't as bad as it probably sounds to the outside person.
All right, good. I'm not going to rush out and buy any more Tupperware. I can handle that.
No.
So, you know, and a common theme between you and then the guest we had on earlier tonight, Sherina Ferguson, is a lot of marinades help to keep, you know, and they can still be macro-friendly and relatively clean in giving your food, your meat, especially a little more zip. She wasn't a huge fan of veggies. You eat a lot of your veggies raw, which is great. We all should. But, you know, if I'm not steaming my vegetables and I'm cooking my vegetables, or even if I am steaming my vegetables, what are some quick tips to keep those lively, the, you know, enhanced flavor, or just so I'm not getting bored with what I'm eating?
Right. I actually, I enjoy raw veggies, but I love cooked veggies. So I do both. And so, again, very common almost every week, and I never get sick of this, but sometimes I'll change the veggies. I love to grill. We grill outside a lot. So grilled asparagus, grilled bell peppers, grilled onion, grilled mushrooms, grilled cauliflower, you know, grilled avocado sometimes. These are all things I grill.
Oh.
Grilled sweet potatoes, all this stuff out there. Now, when the greens, okay, like the asparagus, the peppers, the onion, I do those all in the same marinade, and it is literally just a little bit of olive oil, apple cider vinegar. That is my magic ingredient, I think, for everything, whether it's meats, fish, vegetables. It's amazing because it doesn't mask, it's not a powerful flavor. Like balsamic vinegar is a very strong flavor, but apple cider vinegar is a much, it brings out, it pops the flavor of whatever you're putting it in. Plus, it doesn't have sugar like balsamic does, and it's, like I said, it doesn't drown out the flavor. So that, I think, is what keeps the veggies exciting, is if you're steaming, maybe try drizzling a little bit of apple cider vinegar and your favorite green herb. Again, the two of those, even if it's dried herb, you know, if that's what you have in the cabinet, whether it's cilantro or basil, some of that on there with apple cider vinegar, maybe a little bit of olive oil if you want some, and kind of mix that around. That'll really bring some veggies to life.
Awesome. Well, good. I mean, and it's, you know, any trick of the trade that's easy and that you can do in bulk, it does make life, you know, so much more fluid when you're not having to stop and think, okay, what are we having tonight, and how am I going to get that done? So now when you are cooking in bulk on your batch cooking in bulk on Sundays, I mean, I know you've got your 3-hour cook week, but it takes longer than that, you know, it takes longer an hour, I would imagine, to cook all those things, especially the variety that you're cooking. about how long do you think you dedicate on a food prep day to the actual cooking itself, assuming that the prep is only going to take an hour?
It really does. My husband and I do it together. We split and divide, and literally he'll be grilling stuff outside. I'll be cooking some stuff in here. So it's literally an hour. And even, you know, if I step back and think about one person doing all that, they're not going to be doing the volume we're doing for two massive food eaters. If it's just one, they're going to be doing half as much as we do. So I would contend it's an hour. Now, the first time through, maybe not. But, I mean, you get super efficient and you just know, okay, I got this on the stovetop, I got this on the grill, and I have this, in the oven. And I'm a huge fan of the microwave, and so, like, that's how I cook my sweet potatoes, so it's just easier than if I do want a nice kind of charred grill flavor on those. They're kind of already cooked, and I'm not waiting forever, you know, out on the grill. Mm-hmm. So, but even if it takes longer than that, you know, think about it. And the reason that works for us is because that gives us about 5 days, and then there's usually at least 2 days a week we're, you know, going out for dinner or traveling and, you know, kind of doing some other things. So, and plus, more than 5 days, things do start to get a little weird, I find. You know, if you try to stretch 7 days, you know, you're on the seventh day eating something you cooked a week ago, it's not going to be at its best. So, but even if you have midweek another cooking session, I mean, that's still, you probably don't have to go shopping again. So maybe another couple hours to prep and cook and clean and grill, you know, that's still so much better, I feel. I mean, some people have the time or make the time to cook every night, but that just isn't practical for a lot of people. And so that's what I'm trying to help, is the people who haven't figured out how to do that effectively, which is most people. And that's the number one reason people say they skip breakfast, is because they don't have time, you know. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I don't like to eat in the morning, but, yeah, if you get in the groove and once your body gets accustomed to that and your metabolism is firing the way that it should, you'll want to eat in the morning. You're going to miss that meal.
That's
and
right.
And it doesn't just
so.
Have to be a protein shake if you don't want it to.
You know, that's even, you're talking about freezing. There's so many things for breakfast you can put in the freezer. And, like, even smoothies, you can start them ahead of time. My protein pancakes are great. You don't even need syrup on them, just a little pumpkin in there. Ooh, they're so good. They're like, I eat them cold. They're like sweet cakes, you know. So breakfast is my favorite meal.
Very good. It's one of my favorites, too. I much prefer it to anything else during the day. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed our time together. You've definitely given us a lot to think about. I mean, even though we may, those of us who are in the bodybuilding world and have been or will be in the contest prep phase, you know, these are all things we tend to take for granted. But, there's a lot of people out there that are just, you know, this is new to them. You know, they'll be hearing this for the first time. And they'll be like, oh, my gosh, cooking in batch. And I can do that for my family, too.
Exactly. Or even, too, you know, a lot of people work somewhere. And people at your organization, you know, are probably thinking, well, you're a competitor. You have no idea. You know, I'm just a normal person, so I can't eat clean like you can. Yes, they can. This is how they can do it, you know. So it's. I always think, you know, that's a way we can kind of give back and set a good example for the rest of the community, is to kind of share some of the healthy learnings, you know. And there's
definitely
no reason they can't take advantage of that, too.
Nope, it's something that everybody can do, and I'm glad that you're out there getting that message out. So Healthy Recipes for a Busy Life, you have a website where I believe they can find your book and more at jenamore.com?
Yes, J-E-N-A-M-O-R-E. You can find on the products page, the cookbook, and then also on the services page some information about my workshops and coaching.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Jen. I really enjoyed your time. The things that you and Sharina have shared with us tonight, definitely given us all more to think about and explore and at least experiment with. So, wishing you all the best, and I hope to catch up with you again in the future and find out what new things you've got going on.
Okay, thank you, Desiree. Have a great night. Take care.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
So, everyone, between marinades and coconut oil and pancakes and, you know, apple vinegar cider, just a lot going on, and it's not just for the competitor, but it's for anyone out there wanting to, you know, make some strides in their health and make cleaner eating a part of their lifestyle. So, you know, if you know someone that you think would benefit from hearing this episode, please point them to our archives at blogtalkradio.com. They can just search for P4P Real Talk, and our foodie edition will be right there. And as always, Kaylin and I will be back next week on Tuesday and Thursday evening. So on behalf of myself and my missing buddy tonight, Kaylin, who I'm looking forward to speaking with again next week in P4P Muscle. If your body is a temple, let's build it.